The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell. Lance is in the Galveston area this morning, but he's going to broadcast live with us. What's up, man?
What's going on? How are we doing?
How's the house down there?
It's nice. It's nice. Chris Solis has a friend who said, hey, you know, we want to give you this for the weekend. I said, no pay? No pay.
What?
I like it the best that way.
Wow. That is the best deal.
There's no vacations anymore. There are no going anywhere. So
why?
This will suffice.
Yes, no, there are. You can go on vacation. We're going to go at the end of the month. We're going to go on vacation.
No, not really.
And I'm actually paying.
Well,
I wish I had a place like you.
Are you flying?
Actually, Wendy and Frankie are flying.
Okay. See, that's not something. I don't think we're ready to do that.
Me and JT are going to drive early, and then they're going to meet us there.
Yeah. So, God, kind of bad. You know, with everything that's been going on, the whole COVID thing, right? It's been very quiet. No one's talking about it really much anymore. Did you see what just came out about the ICU beds in Texas are getting to warning status? I don't know. I don't know if it's Harris County or Texas. Maybe it's Harris County. But that's the first time I've seen that. I just saw that on the news this morning.
What did the beds do? That they need a warning? What?
Yeah, they said they're starting to fill up the ICU intensive care beds.
Oh,
they're getting close to what's considered warning status. Now I don't know what that means, where warning status goes. But I did see, not a surprise, I suppose, that we are now one of the leaders in terms of daily surge. For states, which we knew this was going to happen. When we opened up, we had, you know, the social distancing had really worked well, but at some point you got to face the music. It looks like when it comes to the flatten the curve stuff and if you want to reopen, and that's kind of happening right now. So just a reminder that, you know, if you're going to be out and about, don't let your guard down too much. Still, you know, try to keep your distance. I know we're going to have, after the march and the rally, I know there's going to be a big spike again, but hopefully, you know, we get past that without too much happening there. So keep being safe. I mean, keep being vigilant if you can.
Man, Greg Abbott don't care about your numbers. Lance, yesterday, he goes, you know what? Texas stadiums, you guys can operate at 50% capacity.
That's right. You damn right. Let's go.
So, Texans, college football stadiums, you all can get 50% of those people in there at this point. And you know what? By the time September rolls around, Greg Abbott is going to be like,
I'm telling y'all.
Let's make it 85.
That's what it's going to be. I'm telling y'all. This whole baseball thing that they're fighting, we're not going to have any money. People are going to be at games. Now, if it shuts down, then you know, if we have a huge resurgence and it shuts down, then we're going to have a problem. But there is going to be, and baseball, apparently the Baseball Players Association came back and said they would not have any. They're just going to, you know. So they're taking the hard stance. Baseball, you better get your act together, okay? I don't understand why basketball is waiting all the way till July 31st. That's what I didn't get. They got their plan together. The plan seems to be pretty good. Let's play eight games. Let's do some play-in stuff. You know, if you're within four games, we can have a little series, two-game series, where the eighth seed has to win once and the ninth seed has to win twice to advance to get into the postseason. It seems like a good plan, but I just don't understand. We got this whole month of June that we're sitting here. They're going to start in July with training camps and whatnot. Why are we waiting all the way till July 31st?
You know, one of the things that I read yesterday was that one of the reasons they want to go later is the same reason a lot of people want to go later, which is the idea that the further along in summer you get, the more that COVID will dwindle. And so it's the basic premise that we've heard from a lot of sports is that, well, the longer you wait or push, if you push football back, then you got a chance to really avoid some of that. You know, like we're in the middle of a spike here in this state, We're in the early parts of June. So the games aren't being played here, but players potentially are working out here. And I don't know. I don't know why they're doing it then. Did you see Zach Lowe by any chance? Did you see any of what Zach Lowe talked about yesterday with Scott Van Pelt?
No.
So Zach Lowe, who is the ESPN, one of the ESPN basketball writers, he was talking about this. He was talking about what the formula is with the NBA, and at the end, he talked about the fact that he had reached out to epidemiologists and scientists, and you know, I was all excited listening to all this. I was very excited to hear NBA was officially coming back. I know where I was, and I got the alert on the phone. Very excited. At the end of this interview with Zach Lowe, Zach says, well, when speaking with scientists in preparation for this report, he said, I know we're very rah-rah about basketball coming back, but they have a completely different mindset. There is still a lot of concern about the ability to withstand the difficulties of COVID throughout. Well, first he went into the issues with potential injury. That's how Scott Van Pelt led him into that, with players who have been off for this amount of time. But then he said the scientists are still very worried about that he spoke with about COVID and a rash of COVID cases potentially inside of that. And if that happens, what will they do? And what is their plan? And so I didn't see anywhere where that was addressed, because I don't think they want to put any hard set rules on what they'll do, if they'll shut the league down, if they will try to play through it. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how they're going to deal with it. I'm assuming they have to have something, an idea at least in place. I mean, they have to.
I would say, why would they be any different than what these teams? Now, COVID cases can vary by country, but why would they be any different in their plan than, say, Germany or England, where they're not going to put teams in a bubble, where the players can actually live at home and then come pl- now they may play in certain stadiums that are in areas that are less COVID, like in terms of people who have COVID in those areas, but I don't think the German teams are being sequestered.
Are they doing that, though? Are they not playing in stadiums where there's, like, people that have COVID in that area?
Well, England is discussing whether they're going to play in particular areas where high cases of COVID exist. They're discussing, or where they do it at neutral sites. But Germany, I don't think those players are sequestered anywhere. So you have evidence that this can be done.
Yeah.
And you just look at the world and how other sports are doing it and take your cues from them.
You know, it's interesting. You see five Alabama players tested positive, seven Arkansas State players tested positive. And so it's going to be interesting to see how they handle it when they come back, how severe their cases are, you know, what kind of devastation it's going to be for those players, if they're going to be able to bounce back and be able to play, if it's long-lasting on their lungs and all of the things that, you know, come along with it. And it'll be interesting to see how they handle it now. Those kids out for a couple of weeks. I think they're going to be quarantined. And then you're going to come back and then you're going to test. There's so much talk about how they're going to test. And especially with these kids, it's going to be so tough. You know, they're here now. Then they're going to be going home for some of July. And then they're going to be coming back. And who knows how many are going to be carrying. They're in weight rooms together, even if they're just 10 at a time. They're all together. Guys, it's going to be extremely. And then how often do you test them? That's the other question that they're asking. We're going to, I know I saw one school said, we're going to test them 8 days in, because that'll give us, for whatever reason, they picked 8 days in. And they said, that's when we feel like that'll be a good time to test them all. Okay. All right. But, you know, what happens if you've got a rash on your team, a huge breakout in September?
Yeah, that's, I don't know. I mean, but you have to ask yourself those questions and you have to be prepared. You can't go into any, I mean, there's just, it's completely irresponsible. And that's why it's also not logical that anybody with that level of, responsibility wouldn't ask themselves in the group of decision makers, say, okay, what are we going to happen if three players test positive the week of a game? What do we do? We have to test the whole team. you know, my guess is everyone gets tested and it's contact and trace and it's everything that we've already heard laid out by Fauci. I don't think it's going to change. It is what it's just going to be. How do you respond to it? And to your point, John, about that's the big concern. If you get the hardcore, you know, MERS version, the respiratory version of COVID, because we know there are lighter versions and we know that younger people typically will bounce back a lot better. But there are Olympic athletes that I've read about who said when they get when they got the bad version, that they were for five, you know, they fought it for about 5 weeks. They were still, well, when I say fought it, they had no energy. They couldn't even get up steps. So if somebody gets a really bad version, it will probably put them in a bad spot for about 6 to 7 weeks in terms of being able to get back to where they need to be from a conditioning standpoint. Because you just can't. The Olympic athlete said, he was a swimmer. He said, you just can't condition. You just couldn't condition. Once I was quote unquote healthy, I was symptom free and didn't have it. I still couldn't condition. You're just so completely, completely gassed. So, you know, that's more extreme. That's the more extreme version, but you still have to prepare for that because there's a lot of college football players and somebody's going to get something that's a little worse than usual.
Absolutely. You know, and God forbid anything drastic. I mean, horrific right. happens to one of the kids. Then you're just, and then you chose college football and money and everything else over the kids. So that'll be, oh, you want to talk about college football being under a microscope after something, if something, God forbid, happens. 713-780-3776. We got a video from NFL players that we got to play. We got to do that. Holy crap. Allison Footer's catching it today a little bit. And I'm going to tell you, rightfully so. Rightfully so. Allison Footer is catching it. We'll talk about that on the other side.
Did she say Zach Greinke wasn't elite?
She did not say Zach Greinke wasn't. She would never say something
like that. Did she say she and other elites, whites like herself, should own guns and that's it? Is that what she said?
Would you stop saying that about our great quarterback, Jake Fromm?
Oh, you didn't see that, John?
From Georgia.
Yeah.
Did Allison Footer say that?
Allison Footer did not.
So what could she possibly be catching heat over?
Listen, Allison Footer made a statement.
Keep the tease.
Yeah, Allison Footer made a statement that is catching it. So we'll do that on the other side. In the meantime, how about some testosterone, Lance?
How about Men's T Clinic? 5 locations in the Houston area waiting to serve you in Spring and in Pasadena, Pearlands, Cypress, right there in the Heights. My guy Michael, who runs that location, he is fantastic to deal with. The entire staff is so great. I mean, right now, extremely safe. They're going through all the processes they need to make sure that you are safe. But I think one of the main things you need to remember is that from the standpoint of living your best life, we get caught up right now in all the stresses of the world and the safety and health of what's going on. But, you know, when you are living your life, you want to be at your very best. And if you have low testosterone, it can have a huge impact on your libido, on your energy level, on your lean muscle mass, which turns into belly flab. I mean, there's a lot of different things that can become a problem, and you really aren't anywhere close to being your best. But Men's T Clinic, what they can do is help get you back to those levels, help get you back to where you once were, and they can do it very quickly with a tailored treatment. All you need to do is go in, get tested, find out where your numbers are, and they will take it from there. They work with your insurance company to get you covered. Men's T Clinic. Go to the website, mensteeclinic.com, and find one of those 5 locations nearest you, and get back to being the real you this summer with Men's T Clinic.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 717 on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. Unfortunately, Carl Crawford, local guy, major leaguer, he was arrested in Houston yesterday on a domestic violence charge.
He's had a bad run, right? Didn't a couple people die at a pool party? Was that his house, too?
Yeah, that was.
This is
it's been a rough month or so for Carl Crawford.
Yeah, and there was no, that really wasn't
talked about very
yeah,
much.
Yeah, no. And same with Antonio Smith's.
Yeah, those things got brushed aside.
They just get somehow it wasn't accident, a bigger. There was that's not a bigger story that now maybe it was just all accidental or whatever.
Possibly, and certainly.
Yeah, hopefully that's the case. But arrested in Houston today on a domestic violence charge. Chandler Rome tweeted that. Allison Footer retweeted it with this comment. This is horrifying that he's being represented by Rusty Harden, the lawyer Houston athletes hire when they are 100% guilty, speaks volumes. Well, now, this is, Allison, that is ridiculous. I understand Allison Footer is a real advocate. And she is very outspoken about domestic violence, and rightfully so. And it's wonderful. And she, you know what, you know, keep it up, keep up that same energy, Allison. This is ridiculous that the lawyer that you choose is deciding how guilty you are. That's what's deciding your guilt because Rusty Harden is a good lawyer. That means you're guilty. Allison,
what's the history?
Walk this one back.
No, keep 10 toes down, Allison. Stick with what you believe. 10 toes down. Does Rusty Harden have a history of defending guilty athletes?
If they're found not guilty, then aren't they not guilty?
That's what I'm
in
asking.
This society?
I don't know. Have they been found not guilty? I'm trying to think of all his athlete clients. Do you know offhand?
Rusty's considered the hammer.
Rusty's the hammer. Looking for the best. You go get Rusty.
Oh, I know his reputation. I'm just trying to figure out if outside of reports that make it seem like the athlete's guilty, are these athletes being charged with something and then convicted when he defends them, or is he getting them off? Because she says they're 100% guilty, which would imply that they were convicted of something.
Well, no, I think that he gets them off, but they still did it.
But they still did it, okay.
That's what she's implying here.
It's 100% what she's implying is he's really good at getting guys out of problems that they're guilty of. That is the presumptive commentary, which is never going to sit well. But we know, Allison, this is a very, very strong – we know this, obviously, that this is a very, very strong – topic for Allison. It's very meaningful to her. She's very strong about it. We know what happened with the Roberto Osuna stuff, Brandon Taubman, all that. So we know this is something that means a lot to her. But like you said, John, when you make those comments, you know, you are basically saying you are guilty, and there has been no court case. There's been nothing.
Well, here are a list of some of Rusty's favorite or famous athlete clients. Calvin Murphy had a sexual assault and indecency with a child charge. Warren Moon for assaulting alleged to have assaulted his wife. And Wade Boggs with a simple assault. And according to this superlawyers.com website, not only did Harden win those cases, the juries came back in remarkably short order. Murphy was acquitted in slightly over 2 hours, Moon in less than half an hour, and Boggs in a mind-boggling 4 minutes. Now, you guys would know more about those cases. I think I was here when the Calvin Murphy thing went down. I wasn't here for the Warren Moon. Was there overwhelming evidence to suggest that they did it and then Rusty got it done? Do you remember?
There was definitely an incident at Warren Moon's house.
There was a 911 call.
Yeah.
And I think it got released, too.
Yeah. The Calvin Murphy stuff was – that's so salacious and ugly, you don't even want it. I don't know, and I don't know enough about it, but – that was just the headlines on that one was bad, bad. And then the other one with Wade. I don't even remember the Wade Boggs. I don't remember that.
Simple assault. So it wasn't a serious
Somebody
charge.
Tried to take his chicken or one of his beers.
I don't know. I don't know if it involved a woman. Just simple assault. So maybe it was just he got in a bar fight. I don't remember, to be honest. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't. He got in a bar. Well, whatever.
Well, I don't know what it is. We just called it simple assault.
But I mean... Steph Stradley, who's a lawyer, came back at Allison. A bunch of people did. Allison. Hey, listen. She's the hammer on this, and good for her. And you know, hopefully, if Allison, listen, if Chris Hansen is onto you, you're in some trouble. Oh, speaking of which, how about Allison's colleague at the Chronicle, Hunter Atkins? What a nice story.
Yeah, she quote tweeted that and just had the face palm emoji.
Yeah, the palm to the head.
Yeah.
Like,
oh no.
Yeesh. Yeah, Hunter Atkins was arrested as well. He apparently, there's a former Houston Chronicle reporter been arrested on suspicion of attempted sexual assault of a child and online solicitation of a child. Oh, this is the same guy that was in the locker room and overheard Dallas Keuchel talking about, I didn't have to sign any autographs.
No, it's not that guy,
yeah,
is it?
That guy. Yeah. That's the guy. And the Astros were pissed because he was just talking to his teammates, and Hunter Atkins is reporting it, tweeting it out, and made Dallas Keuchel look bad. And that, hey, that's a private conversation. You're not allowed to. Hey, did you ask us a question? You're not allowed to eavesdrop. And that's right. It's absolutely right. And you know, he broke the rules, and so he no longer followed the Astros. He was no longer allowed in the locker room. Well, he's not interested in going in that locker room and looking for stuff. He's in a 15-year-old. Apparently, a 15-year-old girl who was at his apartment without. And apparently she says that they had been together multiple times. And so he is facing those problems. What a good guy.
So here's the report. Hunter Atkins, 31, was previously arrested on December 22nd on a charge of harboring a runaway. Officials say subsequent investigations led to new charges being filed.
Right. Well, she was at the house. She has admitted to police or told police that they had relations multiple times. Those charges are being taking a while. This is June. This allegedly happened in December. He was let go of the Chronicle in February, I believe. By the Chronicle, he left the Chronicle for I don't know how that went down, but he was no longer employed at the Chronicle in February, and that's all that the executive director of the Chronicle would say.
And Al Rosen was quoted, the guy we talked to.
Yeah, Precinct One. This is.
I will always work to preserve the and protect the innocence of children. The young girl is manipulated by an adult who is a man twice her age. Such predators will not be tolerated.
Yeah. No, that's a bad thing. A 15-year-old in a 31-year-old's apartment. Bad thing, I think. That's just me. All kinds of stuff. We also got, let's do it on the other side. We've got the NFL players. You hear this thing. It's very interesting. It'll be interesting to see the NFL's response to it because they are asking the NFL to make some claims, and we'll see whether or not it's something that the NFL will do. So let's check that out on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back on ESPN 97.5. Man, there's more snitching going on, ain't there? Now, Jake Fromm. Apparently, he had a text message exchange with one of his buddies. This was a friend of his, right?
I don't know if it was a guy or a woman. I'm not sure. Because usually when these things happen, like when an athlete's in a text message exchange or a Twitter exchange, it's usually a girl's like, this guy said something flagrant. I'm putting it out there. I don't remember a lot of dudes throwing their buddies under the bus.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, that's fine. But if you let your girlfriend capture a text message with your buddy,
maybe. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. That's a lot of stuff that's the code being broken.
Did you see CeeDee Lamb? What he did?
What did he do?
He grabbed the phone.
Oh yeah. Well, CeeDee Lamb knows better.
Yeah. No, you don't. You don't. That's my phone. Okay. I gotta believe that it was his buddy who threw him under the bus on this deal.
That's unusual that the buddy would, because he's your buddy. It's implicit that because he's your buddy, he wouldn't do that.
You mean like D'Angelo?
Well, they weren't buddies. They were just teammates.
Well, they were teammates and allegedly friends, whatever.
Well, look what happened to D'Angelo.
Yeah.
That's the point. You don't do it.
Well, but he did it. Apparently, Jake Fromm was having a text exchange with a buddy. They were talking about guns. And Jake said, but no guns are good. They need to let me get suppressors. Just make them very expensive and so only elite white people can get them. Ha ha.
Yeah, it says the woman who did it explained why she did it. I'm seeing and feeling the Black Lives Matter movement. I know that part of my job is to hold racists accountable, despite who they are. He has been completely silent despite his career being built off black people. She was talking to the Telegraph, the Macon Telegraph. It's about what he does behind closed doors in this situation. So, yeah, I did it because he's kind of, a jerk, according to her.
Mm-hmm. And people are throwing him now. It's Drew Brees and Jake Fromm.
Well, Jamal Adams said, you're only
Drew Brees is like, hey, I got a much better arm than Jake Fromm.
Hey, why, I'm a Hall of Famer. Don't
why
compare me
why
to
am
Jake
I
Fromm.
Putting it being put in Jake Fromm's category?
Like, Drew's like, hey, I had an opinion that stayed the same for 3 years about taking a knee. This guy said something about suppressors and elite whites. Get him.
It's not the same thing. Jamal Adams has kind of the same sentiment that others have. I think even Booger McFarland was like, he heard Drew Brees' apology and was like, he tweeted, "Oh, I got it. You're only sorry because you're in trouble now." It's pretty much. And Jamal Adams said the same. You aren't really sorry. So,
but it doesn't matter though. The only thing that's going to matter are the guys on his team. If they like DeMario Davis accepted the apology, that's what's going to matter is how are his teammates going to. Look, obviously, he believes what he believes, and he spoke his mind, and he has a right to his opinion. He did miss the mark. We talked about it yesterday. I thought that he did something. The Astros, you want to see a difference between Drew Brees got out there as quickly as he could, relatively speaking, and tried to quell what was taking off against him with, whether we want to talk about I'm not even debating the merits of the apology or whatever the case may be. I'm saying from a PR 101 standpoint, you go in quickly. You don't wait like the Astros did and let everything fester because you see once that happens, it's a wrap. Like if the Astros had addressed it quickly.
I think Astros are different, a little different. So Drew Brees is now a racist? Is that why? Because he doesn't want to kneel to the flag? He just wasn't empathetic?
Well, Richard Sherman called him a racist without saying his name. He in a tweet, I believe he was referring to Drew Brees.
What Drew Brees said wasn't racist. That's not racist. I mean, good Lord. Can we separate? Drew Brees was... He just wasn't empathetic to the cause. That's all. That's not being racist. Man, what a 2020. It's 2020 blows.
What do you mean 2020? People have been calling people racist for years.
I know, but, yeah, but 2020 is the most sensitive. You're sensitive ass. 2020, you suck.
Look, no, I said it before. People are tired, and at this point, people are like, I'm going to say what I want about who I want and say something about it. Is what 2020 is about, particularly for professional athletes now. We're going to play this video where you had multiple NFL stars telling the NFL, you screwed up, you need to apologize. People are done being quiet about things. If they believe something, whether right or wrong, they're going to drop it on.
Wait a minute. We're putting a label on him because he doesn't want to kneel for the flag.
I'm not saying that's a label, but people are doing that now. That's what it is now.
2020 does, and it sucks. Nope. And I think it sucks. All right, so here are the NFL players, all African Americans, and you can hear it's pretty neat what they did. So here's their where did they send it out, on Instagram or whatever? They put this out and listen to at the end what they're asking the NFL to do.
It's been 10 days since George Floyd was brutally murdered.
How many times do we need to ask you to listen to your players?
What will it take
for one of us to be murdered by police brutality?
What if I was George Floyd?
If I was George Floyd?
What if I was George Floyd?
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 I am George Floyd.
I am
Breonna Taylor.
I am Ahmaud Arbery.
I am Eric Garner.
I am Laquan McDonald.
I am Tamir Rice.
I am Trayvon Martin.
I am Walter Scott.
I am Michael Brown Jr.
I am Samuel Du Bois.
I am Frank Smart.
I'm Philip White.
I am Jordan Baker.
We will not be silenced.
We assert our right
to peacefully protest.
It shouldn't take this long to admit.
So, on behalf of the National Football League,
this is what we, the players,
would like to hear you state.
We, the National Football League,
condemn racism and the systematic oppression of black people.
We, the National Football League,
admit wrong and silencing our players from peacefully protesting.
We, the National Football League,
believe black lives matter.
Black lives matter.
Black lives matter.
Black lives matter.
So, do you think the league is going to come out and say we made a mistake and that the kneeling, the protest is now not only okay, but encourage it or whatever? It'll be interesting to see what your guy Raj does.
I believe so, and here's why. If I'm just playing this out in my head logically, what was the number one concern the entire time when – what was the number one concern, do you think, and this is just my supposition, what was the NFL's number one concern during that entire debate and dialogue? What do you think one of their concerns
was? Losing their fan base.
Correct. And I think that when I say NFL, I mean, you know, owners, etc. Yes, isolating fan base or losing fan base, or what percentage of your fans would you lose, whatever the case may be. I think that was a concern. Do you think that there have been a portion or even potentially a substantial portion who maybe see it differently now? The kneeling. I think there is. I know there are people who see it differently, who had an opinion of, you know, before about what they thought about Colin Kaepernick's protest and really the other players' protest when Kaepernick was out of the league with taking a knee. I think a lot of people see it differently. Now, I think it is easier for the NFL to make that admission, and I'll tell you guys a story here in just a second about Chris Ballard. I want to play some of what Chris Ballard had to say, because, and then I'll tell you kind of how some of it went down. But I do think the NFL is going to come out and do something very strong. I don't think they really can afford to not do something like that.
Yeah.
With all their players so impassioned, I think something is coming. I really do. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. I don't think I am wrong. I think something is going to come, and I think the NFL is going to be very aggressive in how they look at this and approach this. Now, what specific changes? I don't know, but I think right now those players, what the players are asking for, I don't think that video is unreasonable at all.
No, and yeah, it'll be interesting to see fans' reaction, if we have fans. If, you know, because the fans did boo the players, did not. There were plenty of fans that were not on board with the kneeling, did not like the quote-unquote disrespecting of the flag. Now after George Floyd, I'm not sure that you can be opposed to them kneeling now. And if you want to know the truth, the alternative is unrest, riots, looting, burning. The peaceful protest was actually, I think we found, it's not so bad. You know what? If you've got a real problem with that and you're going to leave the NFL because you don't like those players, quote-unquote, disrespecting the flag, then you know what? The league's got to say bye. That's what. And you know what? They'll be back. And I don't know. You think, it'll be interesting to see. Do you think every NFL team will lock arms, take a knee for that first national anthem? It's going to be Texans and Chiefs. It'll be interesting to see that first weekend, whether or not everybody on that sideline. And you know what? Then Bill O'Brien, his words will be interesting to see if he takes a knee with the team.
Well,
Go ahead.
I was going to say two guys in that video are Pat Mahomes and Deshaun Watson,
mm-hmm.
the two quarterbacks for that team. So they're part of that video. And if the NFL players come together and say kneeling is the approach that they're going to take, there are so many damn stars in that video. I don't know how you say, you know, NBA is a star-driven league. If the NFL players want to take that power and be a star-driven league as well, I don't know how you don't do that if that's what they decide they want to do.
I can see every player doing it. I can see every player.
I'd say the Texans 100%. And it wasn't before. Remember, Bob McNair did not want that and did not
right.
And basically made that clear to Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien passed that along. Bill O'Brien was always – Bill O'Brien, he had comments very strongly against, you know, police brutality. I mean, he has spoken out before, by the way. This wasn't just the first time. Bill O'Brien was pretty adamant about his stance on everything previously. No one really talks about it, but I remember it. And so I think now with the change of the atmosphere, with change in ownership somewhat, with the words that Cal had the other day that he's already put out there, I think the Texans – I wouldn't even think twice about Texans doing that. I wouldn't think twice about them doing that in game one. I think you're right, John. I think something like that will happen.
It will. I think it'll happen.
Or at least giving guys choices across the board.
I think it'll happen every NFL game. And it'll be interesting to see if it happens in the NBA because they had taken a stance to not kneel. And they had Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf back in the day. The NBA, the NFL is always getting blamed for, you know, oh yeah, you're suppressing your players. You don't want them to kneel, but it was such a, you know, it's hurting your pocketbook and all the things that the NFL was accused of. The NBA banned sitting during the national anthem.
The NBA has fostered an environment where their players believe they have the league has their back, and so the kneeling thing wasn't as important. But the demonstrating by wearing T-shirts, by throwing on hoodies and taking pictures honoring Trayvon Martin. The NBA, however they've done it, have cultivated an atmosphere where their players can feel like they can do other things and kneeling doesn't have to be the thing they do.
Yeah. No. Well, but again, back in the day, Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf did it and it was banned.
I know.
That was 25 years ago,
though.
I'm just telling you, the NBA has done something with their players where the players don't feel like they have to do that because they're allowed to do other stuff, I guess. That's what it seems like.
Yeah. Yeah. So it'll really, really, really be interesting to see. And you know what? Now players are like, I don't give a rat. We're gonna do this. But the NFL's response to this, because they want a response, they said, we want you to admit that you were wrong for preventing us from taking a knee. We'll see.
They don't like being told what to do. The NFL, I mean, or no. Admitting wrongdoing.
No.
Well, so, but here's the thing, though. We are getting away a little bit from people's right to an opinion. If you remember when players, if you had a lot of teams very peacefully just said, and it wasn't considered a big deal, players were all on board with the same thing. Hey, if you'd like to take a knee, we support you. Absolutely. We will stand. You can kneel if you'd like to. There were other forms of, you know, there was Michael Bennett had the raised fist in the air. And we knew that there was anywhere from 2 to 7 players on a lot of teams doing that. I think what's changed, and I think it's a little bit unfortunate because I really don't like bully culture. I still want to make sure that people have the right to opinion because it's always dangerous when you take that away historically. And if you do any search in history, you always have to be careful of that. But players who don't kneel now will get labeled as racist.
Right.
So now,
right.
Now you would see wholesale, like there will be players who, even if they don't feel comfortable doing that, they're going to be subjugated and told, you have to do this,
well,
or you're going to be put in the blender and called a racist.
Well, you know who's going to be the first to, after he decried kneeling, Drew Brees is going to be the first one to kneel.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
There's no question.
But Drew's going to be out there at midfield. Now I'm taking it. But the flag's going to go over you because we're going to do the whole thing.
Forget about Drew Brees. The question that a lot of NFL Twitter is probably going to look to, will the Bosas kneel?
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. I'm pretty sure Jake Fromm's kneeling, too.
Oh, Jake Fromm. Yeah. Jake Fromm's going down on both knees and praying, please don't take away my contract.
The Bills might be like, nah, we don't need this. We drafted you win? Nah, we don't need it. Bye, Jake.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember who else the Bills drafted at quarterback?
Yeah, Josh Allen had his own issues.
Yeah, of course, he was a high school kid who printed rap lyrics.
And he's a first rounder, too. So.
Yeah.
No, and the players actually love Josh Allen. But I do have some insight into – I want to see if, Del, if you can get some of Chris Ballard's comments because this is management. This is going to be management from the NFL. This is a guy who I obviously – know pretty well, and I had a conversation with him on the phone about this yesterday, about how some of this went down. And I mean, to Chris, this was I'll tell you a little bit about what happened in Indianapolis, because they have had a grueling last 3 days of introspection, and it was very powerful just listening to.
Yeah, we'll do it on the other side, but right now I got to talk about it. I talked to Patrick Chastain yesterday, as a matter of fact. What a great guy. What great people. And I said, and I asked him, I said, because we've been talking with, you know, John Clay Wolf, and the car industry is in trouble because they had to shut down production. And do you have any cars? And he said, we got plenty. Come on. And he said, this 84 month thing is spectacular. I mean, listen, if you are in making car payments right now, you need to go in, you need to trade that car in, and you need to get it. You're going to get a new vehicle, and you're going to get it with 7 years interest free. And oh, by the way, chances are you are in a 4 or 5 year deal. And so your payments with a new car are actually going to go down. And so, and he's got the pickups. He's got the F-150s. He's got the Expeditions. He's got the Explorers. He said, not to worry. We got vehicles, and they'll be coming in every month, and we're going to be just fine. So get over to Chastain Ford. Go online. If you're afraid to go to the dealership, that's fine. They'll bring the car to you to test drive. They are so accommodating. They're the best. You'll love doing business, being part of. It's actually being part of the Chastain family. It's on 610, just a couple exits east of 59, Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown. You're looking for that Ford car truck, and you're looking at the best time to buy. It's right now at Chastain Ford.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
But I can't sit here and remain silent, because that's exactly what we've done every time our Black community screams and yells for help. We have to end social injustices and racial inequalities. We have to end the police violence against our Black communities. You know, Black lives matter. I don't understand why that's so freaking hard for the white community to say. Black lives matter. I've been ignorant. I've been ignorant to the real problem. And I'm ashamed of that. I just came to the realization here over the last 10 days with some really hard, difficult conversations that we've had as an organization, as a team, with my family, with my sons. And I've been ignorant to the real problem. See, this is not a Black problem. This is a white problem. This is an issue that we have to talk about. And we can't sugarcoat it. We can't sugarcoat our way out of this. We can't go back into our bubble, because that's what we've always done. We've always gone right back into our bubble, and we've never really listened. We haven't listened. I haven't listened.
It's Colts General Manager Chris Ballard, and what you hear is one of the reasons that I really like the guy so much, because he just called an impromptu press conference. There's no notes. He knew George Floyd? I just found that out yesterday talking to him at Texas A&M Kingsville. Floyd came there and I guess was going to play football. They couldn't get him eligible. He was there for 2 years. Very talented football player as well. So Chris knew him a little bit when he was at Texas A&M Kingsville. But you know,
huge tight end. Those high school highlights of him, George Floyd. Holy crap!
No, he was talented. Yeah. He was a talented football player too. But so I talked to Ballard, because we did a podcast with him on Off Script last week, and we're going to release it. And we're like, man, after all the events, and then with Chris coming out and speaking, we just felt like I needed to talk to him about how we were going to handle putting something at the beginning of the podcast. And with Chris's comments, we were just going to use his comments at the beginning, so that, you know, because the podcast would seem disingenuous if we had him. People are thinking we're having him on now and not asking anything after he makes these comments. But the reality is we taped last week. And so I talked to him a little bit. I don't want to share everything, but the things that are kind of public already, he basically just said, you know, he he listened to his players. They spent about 3 hours a day for 3 days. All the players, all staff, management, ownership, everybody on Zoom calls, long talks. Almost every single player spoke and had comments, and some of them were very passionate. Some of the guys, you know, there were tears in their eyes as they were talking. Jacoby Brissett had some very powerful words for him, and it just really had an impact on Chris, to where it was. You know, he had conversations with his boys, his family. I have in my house. Hopefully, a lot of people are having different conversations. But he told me about some of the conversations he had with his oldest son, and the words you heard are his. You know, that's all real. That's all real. That's stuff that he felt. And I think after meeting with his team and realizing the depth of this, he was just embarrassed. He said, "I just feel ashamed that I didn't realize the depth." And he said, "I knew it in the back of my mind. I knew it, but I get to escape to my own little bubble. Like, we don't think about it." He said, and that at the heart of the comment, white privilege. And I know that drives a lot of people crazy. Sometimes it's used maybe irresponsibly, but I don't want to speak out of turn here, Dell. So feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. But I think that at the heart of it is that's the heart of the phrase. And Chris mentioned it to me. He just said, you know, when something goes wrong in that community for someone who has to live inside of it and live with it, it's not my problem anymore. He said, and that has to change.
Yeah, no, it was you could tell he was speaking from the heart. He and Cal, I thought, were.
Hey, and they're, you know, and they had some, I think they had some season ticket cancellations. And I can tell you, Chris Ballard ain't going to lose sleep one single second over any season tickets that are canceled.
Really? Why? I don't get that. Why would that?
Why? You don't get why? You don't get it?
I really don't.
Dell, is he joking?
No, I'm being serious. I do not understand that. Do you care that the general manager is making an impassioned plea for Black Lives Matter and for black people to be treated fairly in this country after what you saw last week? Then you know what? Leave.
It's the same mentality when that phrase is uttered, Black Lives Matter, people respond, well, all lives matter. Yeah, but that's not the issue.
No.
That's not the particular issue. So when Chris Ballard, the general manager for your team, expresses that, people get upset. Everything's political. And like you said, this is not a political issue.
It's not a political
issue. But this is what people think about when you say that, and that's where that mentality comes from. Well, this is about football, not about this issue. So I'm not going to the games anymore.
There's going to be people who say, I go to football to get away from all this, or whatever the case may be. And that's, you know, I understand it. But Ballard is speaking up for, I mean, that's from the heart. And that's not, he spoke up yesterday, and I was just lucky enough to have a conversation about it. There are going to be other general managers who do the same thing. You saw Bill O'Brien's comments that were well received. And I asked Chris if he heard from players or former players, former players, Colts and others. And he did. And he heard. And he's the guy, look, I mean, Chris, the guy on the front lines who goes to bed. He went and stayed in Oakland with Marcus Peters and his family just to get a feel for Marcus before they got drafted. I mean, he and Al Harris are really, really tight from the Kingsville days. Or I think it was Texas A&I. I can't remember what it was called then. But it was powerful just listening to him say, you know, him having a realization about, man, it didn't. He said, when I see the guys that I love on my team, you know, making the comments that they're making, it just hits harder. And when you because then it does truly become personal for you, because these are guys that you love. And he said people on his staff had strong comments. And I mean, that's at the heart of this. Isn't that what people really want, is just an ability for people to talk, speak, listen, and then try to have some better empathy and then want to do something about it? I don't think that's wrong.
I wonder
it's not wrong.
Do you think the Texans lost any season ticket holders or people canceled their tickets because of Bill O'Brien?
No.
I might have done it because of Cal's.
it wasn't empathetic enough?
No, because I don't feel I should be giving money to the hostage.
You don't negotiate with terrorists?
No, I do not negotiate. So,
but to what Lance said, I wouldn't be surprised. Why? I mean, why wouldn't he? Why? What was the difference between what Chris Bauer said and what Bill O'Brien said? Why wouldn't someone here feel like someone in Indy and go, okay, you're a football team. Why are you talking about this? Why wouldn't someone do that? Now, I think it would be ridiculous, but why?
Yeah, I just think it's.
But why would you be different than Indy?
And you know what? If you do, if that makes you that he traded DeAndre to me, see. There's no comparison. There is no comparison whatsoever. Bill O'Brien was 100% right in what he said the other day, and he was 100% wrong the way he traded DeAndre Hopkins. So that could have been the straw, not this.
I'm willing to bet some people were like, yeah, DeAndre had to go. He was a quote-unquote cancer. Whatever you have to rationalize to get to a point where you accept it, but when the same guy who you were agreed with traded DeAndre said something like this, no, can't do it. I'm not paying for this.
Sorry.
I guarantee someone went through that this spring
yes,
and summer.
But let's also be fair. I don't think that's a majority of the people. Are there people? Yeah, you're right. But I don't want to be painted with a broad brush in terms. I don't want to paint people with that. I don't think the fan base would hear what Bill O'Brien says and say, that's it. We're out.
No.
Now, are there some people? Yeah, you might be right, Dell. But I still think Houston's a little bit more diverse city. And I'm not trying to slam Indianapolis. I'm just saying I think Houston has a little more diversity. It is a blue city. On the inner, certainly it's more red on the outskirts. It's more blue on the inside, and I think I don't think that's Indianapolis. As a matter of fact, I know based on the politics of it all, it's not. And I hate that becomes political. I think John spelled it out pretty well, but I do think that you'll see that maybe a little more in Indianapolis. I also don't think you'll see it widespread in Indianapolis. I think there's a lot of people who say. What Chris said is that's going to be considered incendiary, and you know what it is by coming out and saying Black Lives Matter. This is a white problem. That's going to tick some people off. Right. It just is. I know how it works. Well, you know how it works.
Then bye, Felicia. See ya. You okay? If this is something that you're gonna, I'm putting my foot in the sand. That's it. I'm not gonna budge on this. I don't want black people to have the same rights as we do. What?
See, I don't think it's even, well, some people might feel the way. I don't even think it would be as aggressive in this case. It would be, I don't want you to talk about it. It's not what I'm here for when it comes to my sports team.
Guess what?
So I'm out. Well, that's the whole point.
Guess what?
You want people to be a little uncomfortable and think about this. And like Chris Ballard said, he was ashamed of himself because he hadn't processed everything that was going on. And look, there's some people you're never going to win over. And I think a lot of people who are behind this know that. But for the people who are open, you just want them to listen. You want, because there are enough Chris Ballards of the world to say, hey, I wasn't aware enough. And that's what you're that's who you're hoping to sway.
Yeah. All right, top of the hour. 7:59 ESPN 97.5. Don't go anywhere.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.